Amen. You may be seated. Jeremiah chapter number 8. I'm going to do my best to get you home at a decent hour tonight. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah's preaching. He is letting them know what thus saith the Lord. And they're not listening. As a matter of fact, they're not even having it. And I will tell you, as a preacher, you hope that when you preach a message that at least one person gets it. I mean, it doesn't have to be everyone, but at least one would at least get it and respond and allow it to change their life and all of those things. But for Jeremiah, it just seemed that no one was getting it. And by the time we get to the 8th chapter, he's already preached a couple of different messages. He's already given several instructions that the people just wouldn't have. And I want you to pick up tonight reading in the 18th verse of chapter 8, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go back through and we'll see a few, we'll make a few comments, and then we'll be through. But the Bible says in verse number 18, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images? With the strange vanities. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? So Jeremiah is speaking here in these last few verses, and he asks several questions. He talks about his sorrow in verse number 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. I mean, he's been preaching and nobody's listening, and he's saying, this is getting really old. He says, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. He's saying, They are in trouble. They know they're in trouble. I've told them they're in trouble. Then he asks another question. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities, saying, why won't they listen? He says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. He's saying, he's going over the time that they've put into this, and he's saying they should have gotten it by now. He said, summer's ended. We are not saved. For the hurt, in verse 21, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, am I hurt? I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. He's saying and giving this illustration of being beaten and being bruised for the hurt of what is taking place. Then he says in verse number 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? He answers the question in verse number 22 with a question. He says, is there no balm in Gilead? Oh yeah, there is. He says, is there no physician there? Oh, yes, there is. So he's saying, why then? If the balm is there and there's a physician there, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I'll preach a message entitled tonight from verse number 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you and we thank you so very much for your goodness to us. God, as we come to you on this night in stormy weather and the unknown at hand, God, I know that this passage in which we are referring to, in which we'll preach through tonight, was 3,000-4,000 years ago. But Father, may we make some application tonight that would be beneficial to our hearts and to our souls. God, we know where the balm is located. We know where the healing power for our souls is located, Father, and we know that it is in Thee and Thee alone. We know that it is in the power of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the goodness that He did, the goodness of Your mercy and Your grace that's been extended to us. God, may we feel and may we know the healing touch of Your hand, not for the physical realm of our bodies, but Father, for our spirits. May we know it. May we have it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The last verse he says, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" This balm in which he is referring to is a balm that upon the children of Israel, while God led them from led Joseph to be captured in Israel, or from to Egypt to be taken there, to be Tom second in command. Of course, Joseph, God using him in the circumstances of his life to save much people alive, in his brethren and in his nieces and nephews and those that would be related to him. God allowing them to spend some 400 years in Egypt, and then God using Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and led them into the promised land. We know that that time, 40 years wandering in the wilderness, being led by Moses, Moses wanting to go into the promised land, and God saying, "No, you can't because of your disobedience." So he allowed Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. One of the locations that was established during this time was this area known of Gilead. One of the first places that they inhabited was that. In this place of Gilead, there was a plant. In this plant, it was known for the strongness of its aroma. It was used and traded for throughout the world during this time, and Israel had possession of this. And not only was it used for the magnificentness of its aroma, but also of its healing powers, and not in itself, but in the balm of the soothingness and anything that heals and soothes the pain of this plant. And interpret that one. Someone please. I'm not speaking in tongues, I'm just tongue-tied. But here, Jeremiah, where he is saying, "I am black," again, he is saying, physically describing a bruised body. And he's saying that if somebody had a bruise, if somebody had something on there, he's saying one of the things that they would rub on a bruise or rub on something that was sore in themselves, they would find this balm from Gilead, and they would rub upon that that soreness and that bruise, and it had that soothing touch and that the soothness of that balm to heal whatever would ache. And so as he asked this question, he is really asking the same question over and over again, as he begins in verse number 19 by saying, "Is not the Lord in Zion?" Well, let's answer that question. Is not the Lord in Zion? Yes, He is. He says, "Is not her king in her?" Well, yes, He is. He says, "Why then," or "why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities?" You see, Jeremiah is getting to the place where he is starting to get a little irritated at Israel. He's starting to get a little irritated at Judah, because he's in there and he's preaching and he's preaching and he's preaching, and they're saying, "No, no, no." He said, "I don't understand. If there is a God in Zion, why would they say no? If the king is not in her, why would they say no?" He says, "They keep making me angry." Then he says again, he says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me." He's like, it's like I can't even believe it. He says, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" He said, "If you were hurting, where would you want? Where would you want to go?" He said, is there not a physician that's there that if you went to Gilead and took the trip there, there's a physician there that could heal what you have? And he's saying, of course there is. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? It's not because God wasn't willing. It wasn't because God had said no. It's not because God refused to reach His hand of mercy upon the children of Israel. It's because Israel repeatedly, time after time after time, said no. When we go back to verse number 1, I want you to see three things in this chapter tonight as we get started. And we see in verse number 1 that they were choosing death rather than life. The Bible says in verse number 1, at that time saith the Lord, they shall bring out of the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of the of his princes and the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. You see what they're doing here? They're choosing death rather than life. And the Bible very clearly tells us this. I mean, they're taking the bones of everybody. The kings of Judah, the bones of the princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They're taking them out of their graves. And notice it says, and they spread them, look at this, before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven. Notice this, whom they have loved. They're not setting this before God, whom they have loved. They're setting it before the sun and the moon and the host of heaven, whom they have loved, whom they have served, whom they have walked, whom they have sought, whom they have worshipped. They have not gathered. They shall not have not gathered, sorry, not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth, and death shall be chosen rather than life. You can't get much clearer than that. They're showing all of the worship that they're doing here. Death was more important to them than life. Oh, if we were to make a contrast here to our own culture, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but my goodness, when you see the way death is viewed in our society today, when you see the way that death is really no big deal. In some places, in some parts of our culture, death is worshipped, so to speak. Bones and skulls and crossbones and all of that is glorified somewhat within it. The Bible says, and death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places which I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh yeah, they chose death rather than life. If you continue reading in verse number 4, it says, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. So here's Jeremiah again, and God's saying, Jeremiah, here's where they're at. They're choosing death rather than life. Jeremiah, go and tell them. Jeremiah, here's your message, and here's the message. Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and I heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane, the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Hold on a second. Can we read that again for emphasis' sake? It says, how do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Stop right there just for a moment. Would we not, if we were to claim anything in our society today, we've got it all figured out, don't we? I mean, there hasn't been a society since anyone ever that has been able to do what we can do. I mean, we travel like nobody's business. I mean, you could decide tomorrow. You could decide tonight if you wanted to. Hey, let's go to China and be there by tomorrow morning. Could they do that 100 years ago? Was there a commercial air flight 100 years ago? I don't even know. Brother Terry, what was it like? Okay, you were the senior, so I was just checking to see what it was like. But no, you couldn't. I mean, you had to jump on a ship, and it'd take you a couple of weeks, a couple of months maybe, to get to China, whereas today, we just decide, I'm going. I mean, we've made that possible. How about a phone call? And we can call anywhere in the world today. Anywhere in the world, we can have a video conversation. See them live and in color. Anywhere in the world we can do that. I mean, technology, no one else had technology like we do today. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, again, we get in the car and we drive. Many of them walked. And we think about what a 3-day journey would have been from city to city. I mean, imagine today how many of you would be going to a place like Pensacola, just 50, 60 miles away? I mean, we wouldn't go, half of us. You'd be like, oh, man, you went to Florida? I mean, it's 56 miles away, something like that. We're like, oh, we're going to Mississippi tomorrow. We go to Mississippi like it's going to Walmart sometimes, don't we? Whereas here, I mean, they're saying we're wise. We're wise. I mean, if we're going to say anything, I mean, we, our society, our culture, we have it figured out. We're wise. As a matter of fact, they had it so figured out. And we do too, by the way. We are wise. And the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. And the pen of the scribes is in vain. You know what they're saying? We have no need of the Word of God. That's how wise we are. As a matter of fact, you scribes, you keep making copies upon copies upon copies. Why? We don't even need it. We're wise enough. Oh, may we not be so wise that we don't need the Word of God. Verse number 9, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them. Now remember who's speaking here. This is God speaking. This is God speaking to Jeremiah to speak to the people. He said, Jeremiah, you go, you tell them. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of God and what wisdom is in them. I tell you, there's not going to be much of much for our culture. The more and more we reject God, the more further away we get from the Word of God, the worse we'll be. The worse we're becoming. Therefore, in verse number 10, will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Hold on one second here. If we were to go back and we were to see And you know, we can do this because of history. Isn't it lovely? We can go back and we can see a progression here. And isn't it amazing that God is saying this to people 3,000-4,000 years ago? And here in our culture, what's it been? 60 years since we kicked God out of our culture? 50, 60 years, we said, nope, you can't pray anymore. Nope, we don't want God in that. We don't want God in this. And men slowly began to reject the Word of God. They rejected the Word of God. And I will tell you, if you just do a little bit of research on this, notice what he says here. Look at the progression. He says, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed. Take look. Lo, they have rejected the Word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them. They think they're the smartest people in the room, but really, they have no idea what's happening. They have no idea what's coming. Therefore, will I give their wives unto others? I will tell you, if you were to just do just a little bit of research, it wouldn't take you very long. I mean, because we're so wise, we've got Google. All you've got to do is Google it. Just compare adultery from what are we in, 2017? Just compare adultery in 1917 to 2017. The numbers are astounding, I will tell you. It's astounding. We could even just go back 50 years to 1957 or 67. Which one would it be? 67? 1967, let's go back to there and look at the number and the rates of adultery versus where we're at today in 2017. Why? Do you think it's not a significance that men are saying we don't need the Word of God and rejecting the Word of God, and here we find, hey, therefore will I give their wives unto others. What do you think he's talking about here? Their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone, from the least unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. Oh yeah, we covet everything. From the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Now, our culture will tell us that these things are more prevalent today because we know about them, because we have more media today, we have more social media, that these things have always happened. I have a hard time with that. When you look at the number of reports and you see the number of pastors and preachers that have fallen into immorality, you'll notice that the trend started to happen after, as a country, we rejected God. As a culture, we rejected God and God's Word. And you'll see it just slowly, slowly and progressively going on a downward slope. Why? Do you think there's any correlation here? Do you think there's any connection here? Verse number 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. This is the second time God gives this message to Jeremiah. It says, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, all we got to do is say it enough before people start to believe it. It's true today too. I mean, I don't know if you pay much attention to the media or not, but the media says a lot of things that aren't true. I'm just going to go out there and tell you, fake news is real. Did I say that right? Fake news exists. Let me say it that way. Yeah. Fake news is fake. Shockingly enough. But if we say it enough and we give the report enough, come on. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse number 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. Those of you who don't understand, that means no. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You see, they were choosing death rather than life. And they were chasing after peace when peace was not able to be found. They weren't even ashamed. I mean, they were saying there was peace, but there really wasn't peace, because God says in verse number 13, he said, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, nor leaf shall fade. And the leaf shall fade. And the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. They were choosing death rather than life. They were chasing after peace when their peace was not able to be found. And they were chancing the judgment over running back to God. In verse number 14, he says, Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence. He's given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. We have looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health. And behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come, and have done devoured, and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices, among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. And we're back to where we started, in verse number 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. He's saying they see the trouble. They see the horizon. Again, no one calls for peace in times of peace because we're already at peace. And yet they're saying peace, peace, and thinking it was real, but it wasn't. He says, is not the Lord in Zion? There is a place to go. Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and their strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah is struggling here with the lack of repentance and how they could not see. Is there no balm in Gilead? I submit to you tonight that there is a balm, there is a healing flow from God. And His name is Jesus. We have a balm, we have a healer, we have a comforter that God has given. We don't have to be, just because we are a part of the culture doesn't mean we have to be a part of the culture. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. We can be holy tonight. We can be that shining light, that city that is set on the side of the hill that cannot be hid. We should be that light. We should be that stream. We should be that connection from a lost and dying world to a holy God. We can be that connection if we choose to be. Or we can just yoke up and join in and be like the rest of the culture and be smarter than God. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to get smarter than God. Oh, may we take His word, may we follow His word, and may we know that there is a balm in Gilead that we can point people to, that we can rush them to, knowing that there is a healing power in God and God alone. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you struggle in the lack of repentance and maybe in your own life? Things that we used to have the ability to blush at is becoming a commonplace and a common theme, even in our own homes. May God help us. May we blush once again. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. And I invite you to respond to the Lord tonight, if you need to. Our Father in heaven, move within our midst. May we get in touch with that balm. We have it in our lives. May we share it with others. May we not be smarter than you, but may we lean upon your word for direction in our life. Help us in Jesus' name.